coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com, that's where to go for all of the video needs, audio needs. There's a banner on the top. Again, HagmanReport.com, banner on the top. Click that, and it'll take you to our video and audio page, our show page. All right, simple as that. That's HagmanReport.com. Remember that, bookmark that, and that's the way we're going to be communicating. Through show prep on the bottom or below the banner, and through the banner, just click through the banner for the shows, HagmanReport.com. HagmanStore.com for damn good coffee, as well as other items, coffee cups or teacups. No. Coffee cups. Three types of coffee, or actually three blends of coffee. Detective's Choice Hypercaffeinated Patriot and Revolution Blends, because we are in a revolution. Also ground whole bean and K-cups. All right, a lot of news to get into, 24 hours away from the most important day in American history in modern times. And I'm going to tell you this. Vote for President Trump. Vote for President Trump. And if you don't vote, if you're the type of Christian who says that Jesus is not on the ballot, then I ask you a favor. Stop watching this program. Unfollow me. Because, frankly, we have to save our country. Something amazing happened this weekend. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com, is with me. I'm not going to set this up. I'm going to let him do it. But folks, please pay attention to this. In fact, if we have that picture, the one picture I sent, if we can put that on the screen, in advance of Coach coming on, I want you to take a look at this. Yes. Here it is. If you look at the screen, on your left is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. The gentleman on your right is United States Attorney General Bill Barr. Now, some may call him a bar stool. Some may call him inactive, ineffective. We're going to find out what's really going on. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer from Coach Dave Live. By the way, every morning, if you're not in the huddle with Coach Dave, or if you're not following him on social media, if he still has any social media left after this, just go to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, and join him every morning. I say a lot about shows. Well, his shows are the best. When I say show, it's a huddle. He's a coach after all. You know, Pastor Langford's my pastor. He's my coach. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Coach, welcome, sir.
Well, Doug, thanks. Thanks for having me on. And, what an unbelievable weekend. Unbelievable weekend. Eric, I don't know if you can. I just sent you a picture of our team. I don't know if you can throw that up on the screen or not. And, Doug, is one of the most unbelievable experiences of our life. I put together a plan in a couple of weeks. We were working on it for a couple of weeks. Look at that motley crew there. Is that something? Huh? Look at that, folks. We are in Washington, D.C. I'll paint the picture for you, but I want you to understand that moms and pops, simple American citizens who really care and who really trust the Lord can still make a difference. There are 33 of us, Doug. I don't know if everybody's in the picture because You know, some guys are different places doing different things. There were 33 of us from 13 different states that figured out a way to get to Washington, D.C. this last weekend. We started out actually in Delaware. And, you know, we have what we call the Equal Justice Tour, and we believe that the only way that we're going to get justice is that we're going to have to demand justice. And so I put out the call a couple of weeks ago to people who listened to our show and anybody else. And I kept it low key because I didn't want Antifa showing up and BLM and just didn't want it to become something we didn't want it to become, Doug. And asked folks to come and join with me as we went to Joe Biden's house, then to Barack Obama's home, and then finishing up at Bill Barr's home, Attorney General Bill Barr yesterday, demanding equal justice under the law. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't think that's too much to ask. Equal justice. We just want everybody to be treated the same. That's all. And from personal experience, and I'm sure Doug is a private investigator, you understand this, that when a felony is committed, it doesn't take 6 months to go arrest somebody. I mean, right? We know that, right? They go arrest them right at that moment. Charge them. They don't have proof of it, but they charge them.
Exactly.
And we're sick and tired of what we call unequal justice. And so I said, fellas, we're going to go. I don't know why, really, other than, as you said, the most critical election in the history of certainly of our lifetime. We started out at Bill Barr. I got some videos and stuff I want to show you here in a second, folks. But I want you to understand what we did. Again, 33 of us from 13 different states showed up on Friday evening at outside Joe Biden's house. The police in Delaware were unbelievably cooperative. The Secret Service were unbelievably cooperative in what they did. Most times when we have to go fight fights, Doug, the police are the greatest opposition we have. And they fell over. They've been over backwards in Delaware when we went to Joe Biden's house in order to let us exercise our First Amendment right to redress our government for a petition government for redress of grievances. So we started out Friday night at Joe Biden's, and then after we were done at his house, we went out on the street and we did what we called a honking wave, and we held up signs and tried to encourage people to stand up and do the right thing. And drove an hour and a half that night and stayed in a hotel outside of Baltimore. Drove in the next morning to Washington D.C. and went to Barack Hussein Obama's home. Couldn't get to it. They certainly have it barricaded and Secret Service around it and everything. But we found a place where we could land, and we went there and we called Barack Obama to account. We believe he knew exactly everything that went on as well. And we were out there for about a half hour. Then we went into downtown, an area of downtown, and began to do another honk and wave there. And then we culminated it, Doug, with a trip to Bill Barr's house. It was the last thing we had planned. We went to Bill Barr's house, and even though the media, Newsweek magazine, New York Post, USA Today have run stories on it today. All of it lies, of course, saying we went and we stormed his house and we protested. We went to Bill Barr's house and we asked Bill Barr to please do his job and let him know that there are millions and millions of Americans who are counting on him to rescue our nation. We knew that the burden that he has is heavy. We know that hey, Doug, when we drove into his neighborhood, I was blown away by one thing. There were more Joe Biden signs in Bill Barr's neighborhood than trees. They were everywhere.
Wow.
To think as a human being sitting there in that neighborhood with everybody around him is a Biden supporter and understanding the pressure that's on him. So we went to encourage him. The most amazing thing happened, Doug. We took our 30-some people. You saw the motley crew. And after we were there for about 20, 25 minutes appealing to Attorney General Barr, telling him that we were friendlies, and we split up and because it looked like a mob in front. It really did. And so we said, got everybody move away. And then I just stood there in front of his house and I appealed to Attorney General Barr to just acknowledge that he hears us and that his job is so, so important and we're counting on him. And there's millions and millions of people that I stand in support of him. Please do your job, equal justice. I asked one of the FBI agents that was on the scene. I said, do people come here very often? He said, no, sir, nobody's ever done this before. So we stood out there and I appealed to him. I said, Attorney General Barr, please, if you will, just go to a window and just give us a thumbs up. I just want to know that you know that we're here. We support you. We're praying for you. We want you to do the right thing. We understand the pressure that you're under. See, the media said we stormed it and that we picketed him and we demanded the ball. None of that stuff is true.
Actually, Coach, before we spoke Sunday, I think it was Sunday morning, I happened to be – I got emails from people pointing me to stories in the British press saying that you stormed that you were part of a group that stormed the house of Bill Barr. And I thought, wow, you know, I looked at that and I thought, no, you know, the way it was framed, it was totally untrue.
And totally
then, yeah. And then I started getting messages and I don't answer private messages on Twitter, and I saw Twitter light up with, these fake stories, repeating these fake stories. And then it was unbelievable. Then you called me. It was just like that. At that moment, I'm thinking, my goodness, this is great. And showed me the pictures and stuff. So thank you for that. But, and understand that you're not, the media is not your friend. And when Donald Trump says that they're the enemy of the people, at least the enemy of the truth. But yes, sir, go ahead.
So Doug, after I'd appealed to him. Folks, you can see this all on my Facebook page. I'm not going to put it up there for you all to see today. And we're getting it set up so we can put it on our web page as well. But I just appealed to him, Doug, just like I said. We're friendlies. We come. We support you. Millions of us support you. Please just give us a thumbs up if you can do it. And the FBI's there, and they're letting us do it, and they're very respectful. And Doug, I was standing there, and front door opened, and Bill Barr stepped out onto the porch. I started a dialogue again, started saying the exact same thing. We are so dependent on you, our children and our grandchildren. And so, hey, folks, listen, I saw a lot of people who on our Facebook page made comments about Barr. Well, he's not going to do anything, and he's a double agent and all that
stuff.
Deep state.
Yeah, yeah.
Deep state. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Most of you people out there, I'm sorry, that sounded awful. Most of us won't even confront our own children who are in sin, let alone indict a sitting president, former sitting president of the United States, right? So when we talk about a guy who doesn't have the courage, we don't have any idea the pressure this guy must be under. We have no pressure. We have no idea. And so I dialogued back with him for a few minutes, and I was trying to be sensitive of his time. It was Saturday. Maybe he was watching the football game. I didn't know what was going on. But I felt it was important that we let him know that there were millions of Americans who stood behind him, Doug. And so I walked away. It was over, and we were going to get ready to leave. And he walks off of the front porch, and he walks down to where his security is. And then he comes walking out towards the road, out towards me. And so I went over and, you know, extended my hand. And this is kind of cool. He said, nice to meet you, Coach. So evidently, they were doing a little bit of research in the background as this whole thing was going on, as you can probably imagine, right? And then he walked right out, and he walked up to every one of those 33 people from 13 different states. He walked up to every one of them, looked them in the eye, shook their hands, and thanked us for being there. And I'm going to show you this clip here because I think it's important that you guys see this. These are just mom and pop Americans, right? People say we can't make a difference. Lord, folks, I tell you, we can make a difference. And my buddy Randy Lunsford, who went with us when we visited Hillary Clinton, a year and a half ago or however long, 3 years ago now. It's been a while, I guess. Randy was the guy who laid his hands on the gate that Hillary's prayed that that threshold would open into the spiritual realm. And Randy was there today, yesterday, whatever day it was, again, Doug. And I want you guys to watch this because, Eric, if we can, I'm going to shut up a minute. I put my hand right there. I'm putting my hand on Bill Barr, probably the fourth. Folks, listen, I'm a guy from a cornfield. You understand? These are all just cornfield people, Americans. They've come from 13 different states. And we showed up out there, and we showed up in a respectful way, and we appealed to Attorney General Barr just to come out and just to acknowledge the fact that we're here. And after he goes around and shakes everybody's hand, I said, would it be okay if we pray with you? And Eric, if you can start this thing again, folks, I want you to watch about the 4 minutes of this prayer. This is Randy Lunsford from Oklahoma, who is saying this prayer over Bill Barr, and I'm going to tell you, Americans, he was moved. Not Randy. Bill Barr was moved.
Wow.
And I said to somebody, we don't know the decision he had to make today, do we, Doug? We don't know what kind of meeting he might have been in at 10 o'clock this morning.
That's right.
We don't have any idea.
That's right.
And we were the encouragement of the Lord that showed up, and he was greatly moved. So, Doug, if it would be okay with I'd like to show about this 5-minute segment.
Sure.
That Bill Barr comes out and joins us, right? We didn't ask him. We're going to indict Hillary. We didn't ask him any of that stuff. We just said, please do your job. We're counting on you. We understand the pressure that you're under. And Randy prayed a prayer over him, said, listen, we've got you covered, brother. The Holy Spirit's got you covered. And just go ahead and play this because it's a powerful about 5 minutes.
Funeral,
but
I got to say, a real Russian.
It is a real Russian, by the way.
A real Russian.
Oh, my God.
Can we pray for you, sir? That'd be all right if we pray for you.
Amen.
Ready to do it?
Father God, we have a privilege to be with a great man you placed in this time on this earth in our country, our great country. And Lord, we ask you to cover him and bless him, Lord, for his righteousness. Bless him and his family, God. Cover them because we know there's evil that's out there for innocent people. Lord, give him the strength and the power as a man, a godly man, as a man that loves his country and loves righteousness. Give him the power. And we are behind him, Lord. I want him to feel all of our strength across the nation
that is behind him.
And Lord, I just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus be King again in our nation.
Yes,
we lift up God and we become a righteous nation again. And we know you will bless her again, like you did in the beginning. We speak this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. That's why I came back into government. I believe it.
Doug, can you freeze that, Eric?
I believe it.
Eric, I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys heard that. He said, that's why I came back into government. When we talked about making it a righteous nation again, he said, that's why I came back into government. It's amazing. Now, Doug, I want to play this clip a little bit longer because we showed up with a white stallion. One of our friends, Craig Mickle, brought a huge white stallion. And those who are Christians understand the white, Jesus is coming back on a white horse. And
18 hands high, by the way.
Yeah, he's
2,000 pounds, 18 hands up.
Unbelievable. And he was with us all day on Saturday, and he never made a peep. He never did anything, Doug. And I want you to hear, Eric, if you can continue to play that a little bit longer, you're going to hear the horse speak. You're going to hear the horse give an amen. Can you pull that back up there real quick, Eric? And I think it goes about another minute.
Thank you, sir.
Buffalo, New York.
I'm going to get a picture with Barr just because that's what I
want him to know. When the Secret Service comes again and the FBI comes again, I want them to know who they're looking for. Right. Bobby, give me a good one, sir. Amen. Only the Lord.
God's good.
Fourth most powerful man in America.
Thank you. United States Attorney General, folks. Coach, God's good, brother.
You shall be brought before God.
That's awesome. History being made.
Is that unbelievable, Doug? Is that unbelievable? That horse winning, Eric? Can you play that back again? Because I want people to hear that again. This horse
trip
not made a peep.
General Barr, United States Attorney General, folks. Coach, God's good, brother.
You shall be brought before God.
That's awesome. History being made right here.
Wow. Gives me goosebumps. So there you are, Doug. There it is, folks. There it is. And I would say shame on us. Shame on us as Christians for not publicly doing what we just did. People criticized us. Said, oh, you're out there harassing them. No, we're not harassing them.
We went and
encouraged him and prayed for him. And one of the Secret Service, as I said, that's never happened before. Nobody's ever come pray for Bill Barr. So,
and think about that for a second. Coach, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, think about that. People all the time will send me emails. What can I do? Well, show up like you did. You showed up at his home. You prayed for him. You know, okay, so compare that to what's going on with Antifa. He would have never come out, you know, obviously. But obviously.
Well, Doug, how about this one, Doug? We went to Biden's and Obama's and they never even mentioned that. They never even mentioned it, right?
Right.
All of a sudden they say we show up and stormed. Well, the Holy Ghost showed up and stormed. We didn't storm Bill Barr. We were very, very respectful the whole time we were there. The difference between what we did and what Antifa did is night and day. And then, you know, Doug, we got in our cars and we drove away and we drove through downtown Washington, D.C. Did you know right now downtown Washington, D.C. is being boarded up? Did you know that, Doug?
Yes, sir.
They're plywood on every window, everywhere that you can look. Because why? They know that we're not going to be the ones that are going to be acting up, right? They understand it. So, Doug,
we're
a bit short. I got video of us going to Biden's. I got video of us going to Obama's. Just trust me that we did it and that we prayed and we read the scriptures when we went both places. And, we're just calling for equal justice in America.
Coach, you've been, a critic.
Pardon me, Eric, throw that little band of monkeys up there again, will you? That little crew of 33 people who got an appointment with the Attorney General of the United States, the fourth most powerful man. I could have called every senator, every congressman, every mayor I know and tried to get an appointment with the Attorney General. I couldn't have. And look what happened here. Go ahead, Doug. I didn't mean to interrupt you on the show.
No, I'm glad you did. And thank you. You just, you know, wow. 33 men, 13 and women, right? Didn't I
see? Yep, 33 men and women, 13 different states.
There you go.
13 original colonies, huh?
Hey, bro, that's very interesting. Yeah. With a first name, Samson.
Attorney General Barr was really blown away from that. Doug, look, we're not just a group of guys from 5 miles down the road who decided to have a few beers and go over and visit the Attorney General, right? These people came at great expense to themselves from Fallon, Nevada, and from Oklahoma, and from you name it, from all across America. They came and they lifted up the name of the Lord and they lifted up Bill Barr's arms. And we don't know. He didn't tell us any secrets and we didn't make any demands and we don't know what he's going to do. But I can tell you this. If we had 33 groups of people all across America who would come out of hiding, come out wherever you are, would come out of hiding and get actively involved with our elected officials. This is a clip at, we're at Joe Biden's house calling for equal justice. Hey, Doug, the Secret Service were astonished. They were very, very respectful. They'd never seen anything like it, man. Same thing when we went to President Obama.
You mean about how you carried yourselves?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, and they went out of their way to, you know, to allow us to have free speech. Wow. So, you know, I'm looking at the clock. I know we got just a few minutes here, Doug, and I just want to acknowledge the 33 faithful soldiers who showed up and, we can still win, man. Folks, this is still a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You understand that Bill Barr works for me. I don't work for him.
Right.
Hussein Obama. He's still on our payroll, right? He's still getting paid by it. We got this thing backwards. Joe Biden is running to be an employee. He's not, right?
Right.
So, we've got this whole thing upside down. We do. This is at President Obama's place. You can't get to his house. They got it all boarded off. Interesting thing, folks, you want to do something. You do a Google Earth study of President Obama, and all around him are all of the embassies of the world. They're all around him within like 3 blocks. He's living in the middle of all the embassies in America. Now, Doug, you tell me what that's about.
Well, if I was conspiracy-minded, I would say – boy, he's positioned himself in the place of in the center of power to run a shadow government. But who am I to say that, right?
That wouldn't be going on, would it?
Of course not. That's conspiracy. You know, yeah. Well,
so hey, Doug, listen, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, okay? I'm so humbled that the Lord would smile upon 33 little urchins like us that showed up. Mom and Pop America, we just showed up. And he was respectful, and we were respectful. And I can tell you this, all down through the FBI and down through the Secret Service. They have to be talking about.
Oh, I'm sure.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure
how we behave and how, and even though the media's saying we did this, the media's saying that, and they brought a horse, and yeah, we brought a stallion. We brought it's a wonderful thing, Doug. And I want to encourage people, you know, tomorrow's a really, really big day, and we don't know how this thing's going to come out. We really don't know. Mm-hmm. But I still think the good people are going to win. And I don't know what that's going to look like, and I don't know what that means. But I can tell you this, we got to come out of hiding. We have to come out. There ought to be 33 people. We ought to be doing this regularly, visiting our elected officials. I remember one time, Doug, sorry, I'm kind of rambling.
No, please.
I met with one of U.S. rep one time. And at the end of it, you know what he said? I'll never forget it. I was shaking hands, we're walking out, and he says, hey, thanks for coming there, Dave. We never hear from you guys.
Oh.
And I thought, boy, that's a story there, isn't it, Doug?
We never hear from you guys.
We never hear from you guys. Right? Mm. We never hear from them. So you think about Bill Barr, and if you're watching this show right now, I believe, we were called there by Almighty God. I don't know why. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in our way. This whole thing was orchestrated for us to be there at that moment. And as I was saying to Randy, who led the prayer, see, it's never about what we think it is. Maybe Bill Barr is absolute. Maybe today at 10 o'clock, maybe tomorrow at 10 o'clock, he has the most important meeting in his life. Maybe he can't even sleep at nights. Maybe he's getting threats. We don't have any. It's so easy for us to sit back and say, Barr's part of the deep state. He's a sellout. He's never going to do anything. We have no idea. I want to be kind of sensitive with a lot of things that I say, but I can tell you this, as a guy who stood right next to him, he's a human being. He's a human being.
Amen.
And when Randy was done praying, he walked away and he's wiped his eyes. I know that. So rather than us be so quick to judge and so quick to cast aspersions, so quick to throw fireballs at everybody, maybe we need to humble ourselves a little bit and give the Lord an opportunity to do something great.
Coach, you're...
Throw those monkeys back up there again, Eric. They're the heroes. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, you know, for putting all this together, you are a hero. Everyone there is a hero. And thank you. Those are the individuals who are making a difference like every one of us can. It's just a question of will we. And I'm sure all of you had something else you could have been doing at that time, but you made it.
And don't think we weren't scared, Doug. Don't think we weren't scared. I know. I see what happens to people, right? See what happens to them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We're in the Lord's hand. We're in the Lord's hand. Yeah. And Doug, I want to thank you and Eric, because it's this platform, man. It's this platform. It's so much more valuable and more important than you know, Doug. And we just love you and appreciate all you do for the kingdom.
I don't do half as much as I should, and you do twice as much as anyone can. So thank you so much, Coach Dave Dubmeier.
Thanks, Eric.
You. Thank you.
We can win, folks. We can win.
Right on. Folks, Coach Dave Dubmeier, CoachDaveLive.com. The only thing I can say to people like Right Wing Watch and such, there it is. Pardon the pun, but right from the horse's mouth. Not Samson, but Coach Dave. Send Coach Dave Dubmeier an email thanking him. He'll be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmannReport.com. Bookmark that website, HagmannReport.com. And HagmannStore.com for some great coffee, gourmet coffee. And it's expensive. You know why? Because proceeds go to help fight child sex trafficking. That's right. Boots on the ground. Legitimate efforts. And I stress that because there's some stuff out there that I just don't, it's hard to believe. Anyway. That last segment with Coach Dave Dobmeier, that was incredible, in the company of Attorney General Bill Barr. Hey, and by the way, folks, 33, you know, I know there happened to be 33 people that ended up going. There's, and I understand, why 33? There's this big Masonic, conspiracy behind that number. Don't start with me. Don't start with me. Sometimes a number is just a number. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Speaking of cigars, you buy enough, you know, boy, I'll tell you, some of them can be quite expensive. And you can really rack up the credit card bills, right? If you pay for them, by way of credit card. Look, I know, folks, we all go into debt from time to time. I know that, sometimes, hey, there's expenses you can't help but put on a credit card. Did you know that the average interest rate on a credit card debt is over 18% APR? Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Let me tell you something. You can refinance high interest, credit card balances. You can do this and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. And I want to thank the good fine folks at Lightstream for saving my listeners and viewers money. I'm telling you, I've gotten just tons of emails. I suppose if you put that into the weight of people, it would be tons and tons, tens of tons, hundreds of tons of emails from people who have saved using Lightstream. Rates start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. Plus, there are no fees. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. I mean, it's that quick. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's what you need to do. My listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. I'm going to spell that out for you. It's LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagmann. HAGMANN, by the way. Two N's on Hagmann. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR, include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. And again, I want to thank the fine folks at Lightstream for providing our listeners with that ability. Now, tomorrow, election day. Here's my prediction. It's as good as the paper it's written on. Okay. I mean, it's for what it's worth. I believe that President Trump is going to just have a, in a free and fair, how can I put this? He will walk away with right around, in my view, right around 326 electoral college votes. That's my view. That's my suspicion. I believe he's going to win in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I believe he's going to take Florida. I believe he's going to take Iowa. I believe he's going to take Texas. And, of course, some of the coastal states, including California and the Pacific Northwest, that's a write-off. It's a write-off in terms of the Electoral College and the people up there, as well as the Northeast. You know, it's a shame, the original colonies, right? But that's not the story I had a tremendous, in my view, a tremendously positive Patreon meeting with the patrons last night. And shared some of the information that we found. And John Moore, of course, is my guest this morning, but present within the meeting last night. Stopped in graciously gave his time. Sam Andrews. And the reason I bring this up is because what's coming, folks, starting tomorrow, what is coming? We all need to be prepared for what's about to happen. I'm not so sure it is really relevant to the enemies of our constitutional republic, not democracy. I'm not sure if it matters who wins to them because they want to burn us all. They want to burn everything to the ground. Here to talk with me about what all of this, and I've got a whole bunch of little video clips, John, for your edification, and one video for the last couple of minutes that we can go through. But first, whatever you want to talk about, I'm going to just say it's to you. John Moore, thelibertyman.com is his website, thelibertyman.com. There it is right there, the web presence for Mr. John Moore. I want to thank him for graciously being with me on Monday. He does a lot of radio on Monday. It's a heavy day for him, and he's very busy. And I want to thank you, John, for allowing a little alteration there as Coach Dave Dobmeier ended up spending a little bit of time with Attorney General Barr on Saturday. And we had to just debrief Coach Dave. So thanks for the gracious gift of time and the patience. Come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Doug. It's good to be with you. Well, one of the things you learn doing live radio or even recorded radio is you got to be flexible.
Yes.
That's just the nature of the game. Of course, I do live radio and things happen. I got to deal with it in real time, not something that can be addressed later. but that's just radio. Well, I'm a big fan of Coach Dabblemeyer and have been for years, and I'm glad you could have him on for a few minutes. And
you know, if you don't mind, I'll show you the picture with this is why. He had a group of 33 men and women and a horse. That's a different story. 34, yeah. So they went to Bill Barr's house on Saturday. They made three stops. One was Bill Barr's, just to kind of give you the distilled version, and right. Asking for equal justice, and not in a vicious, vile, or threatening way. And he came out, and Coach Dave and some of the people there with him laid hands on him and prayed for him.
Very nice.
When's that ever happened before? I mean, it's happened, you know. I mean, wow. Anyway, so there you go. That's why. Thank you.
Okay. Well, very nice. Very nice. Glad to see that happened. Well, it's not too late to encourage people to get to the polls tomorrow. It's too late to register, obviously.
But, except, I think one or two states allow really? You to register the same day. Believe it or not, yeah.
That's amazing. Regardless, it's shocking and disappointing how many conservative, evangelical Christians are not registered to vote or simply don't bother to vote, even if they are registered. Very disappointing, Doug. Not too late to reach out to them to see if they intend to vote, offer transportation, child care, whatever it takes, get these people to the polls. We need overwhelming numbers. There will be fraud like we've never seen before at the national level. Obviously, there's been fraud for decades at the city and township level, but and county level. But this national fraud will be unprecedented. It's already taking place. We're seeing ballots being found that have been disposed of. Of course, ballots for President Trump, of course. So we need these overwhelming numbers. What begins tomorrow? Well, we don't know. We know what the possibilities are, and none of them are good. I understand right now that they're building a much higher fence around the White House and around Lafayette Park in preparation for what's going to transpire over the next few days. Lots of rumors flying about police departments getting ready. Lots of rumors about the Antifa people getting ready. Regardless, people need to have their own personal plan to deal with whatever's going to happen in their neighborhood, in their town, in their community. An effective plan, not a make-believe plan, but an effective plan to deal with power being out at the beginning of winter, which means having an alternative source of heat. Staying home and preparing meals there without going out is very important. Having enough water to deal with a shortage of water for a week or two or three. All these things are very important, Doug. It's not too late to make some last-minute preps to inventory everything you've got. You may make some assumptions about something that are wrong. This would be a good time to take a complete detailed inventory, fill in the gaps, make sure your motor vehicle is topped off with fuel. Wouldn't hurt to have an extra 5 gallons. And just get ready. And as I said this morning, Doug, in my prepper tip today, pray without ceasing. Pray for President Trump and his family. Pray for our country. Pray that President Trump is reelected by a landslide tomorrow. And, of course, pray for no violence. Prayer is powerful, and prayer works, doesn't it, Doug?
It does. Did you happen to see 58,000 in Butler County? That rally? 58,000 people showed up for President
Trump? I saw a photograph, and that's no surprise.
That's amazing.
It's no surprise. President Trump can draw the numbers. Vice President Biden, it's pitiful. You and I, Doug, could announce an event and get more people than he can. And, you know, it's just, it's humiliating to see a man who is past his prime intellectually. He has easily definable cognitive ability, disabilities with his cognitive situation going on. That this man's running for president of the United States is certainly humiliating. And he's embarrassing himself in front of the entire planet. And the Democratic Central Committee is humiliating themselves by putting this man up as a candidate as well.
You know, all of his gaffes, I don't know, you've seen all of his gaffes, haven't you? I mean,
of course.
The recent ones, I'm not even sure. I think we've got, let's see here, we've got Stanley McGeneral. He meant to say McChrystal. Stanley McGeneral. We've got that bad healthcare, something like that. We've got some word I couldn't even begin to try to pronounce that's, 18 syllables long that was just a mush of sentences or a mush of words. And we're seeing a mental decline, I believe, of Joe Biden. And I think that's, it doesn't matter to these people, you know?
No, it obviously doesn't.
I gotta tell you, if it was my dad and they were using him like that, I would be pissed off. I mean, really to the max, I'd be pissed off. But anyway, but I think it's
big
their
guy.
Plan. Yeah. 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 10% to the big guy, by the way. Yeah. But you know, you had mentioned something earlier, you know, about their plans. If you don't mind, Eric, I don't know. Do you have it queued up where we can go to Millie Weaver? It's just a 2-minute bit. There's a longer one that I put up before, but it's just a 2-minute bit. It gives you some insight into what they're planning and who's planning it. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Okay. Let's play this. Again, this is just a very short version of a longer version. Just go to the one next to it. This is on HagmanReport.com. Go ahead.
Our undercover inside the Sunrise Movement was able to obtain exclusive video footage inside Zoom chats where Shutdown DC, BLM, and other leftist organizations are coordinating a multi-level coup action exercise utilizing insider help from Democrat Party members as well as federal employees and intelligence contractors.
I'm a management and programs analyst.
I
work in the national security community.
I spent 3.5 years as a contractor at DHS HQ.
If you read the mainstream press, like, they all have Signal accounts. Text them, leak everything you can. The journalists I've dealt with have been super ethical in ways to shield me to be the source of the leaks.
Groups on the outside being able to show solidarity with federal workers.
Making sure that we're naming what is happening as a coup.
Totally agreed in the shutdown DC conversations that I've been having, and that's not on the federal side. We also are often saying that we call it a coup.
They plan to shut down Washington, D.C. and other major U.S. cities starting November 4th until Inauguration Day.
Do we have any plans for how to respond if there's a coup?
Come to BLM Plaza anytime after 4 p.m. on election night. On the 5th, we're going to shut down the White House.
Map the White House and know every access point so we knew we could have blockaded it.
On the 6th, we're going to shut down larger parts of Washington, D.C.
We've been working on a target map and a framework for scenario. So where are all the police stations? Where are all the key government buildings? Who are the Trump boosters?
Members of Congress that are coming in, we're going to meet them at the airports or at Union Station and send them back to where they came from until we deal with the situation that we're in.
We are going to be in a crisis, but we want it to be one that we are creating. Whoever's got the guns can win. Let's take over the buildings. If there are people that are willing to do that, we should support them. Get ready to shut your city down on the 4th or the 5th.
Regardless of who wins, the left plans to take
these
over.
These people are sick.
I had Millie Weaver on the show some time ago, and a few weeks ago, I don't know, when her expose first came out about the Sunshine Movement, but those are the plans, and that's just a very brief trailer into a larger story. But there it is, John. There it is. Hey, and by the way, that older woman with the blonde hair, she's been around for about 3.5-4 decades almost. And she's been, I mean, she is one tough cookie. That's not to say we're not tougher, but don't underestimate these people. Just saying.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Underestimating your enemy can be a massive mistake, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, we're very fortunate that what they thought was a private conference was captured and released. That's very, important. I'm glad we got that. The woman said, if we have people with guns, that sounds like that particular individual doesn't know if they do or not. If we have people with guns, we can take over buildings, I think, if I can paraphrase. So I'm not sure what level these folks are, if they're upper management or mid-level or just people that are talking to be talking. Do we have any idea who they represent or what their position is in the chain of command?
I can tell you this. Based on what Randy Taylor and others within my organization have found, you've got a mixture. You've got actually bosses, supervisors, I should say, at DHS HQ, and subordinates working and meeting together. After work, they meet at the various places. In fact, one church just outside of Washington, D.C. every week. We know about your meeting. Anyway, and since that video was created, I can tell you this, their gun problem has been solved. They are armed. And,
okay.
Just saying. Okay. We know about the guns too. So there you have it. I don't know. You know, John, you've been so right so often. You and, by the way, your show, go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com, and folks, listen to his daily show today, Sam Andrews, every Monday, right, Sam Andrews?
Every Monday, the second and third hour. Right?
Okay, just saying, and then other guests as well. It's John's radio show is such a tremendous informational outlet. It's so important that you tune in, folks, please. I said all that just to say that, you know, we are now at really We're now at midnight almost, metaphorically speaking.
And, right. Well, the clock's ticking down. The polls open at 0700 Eastern time tomorrow morning. And it will be every national election is a historical event. This one is extraordinarily historical. What will be decided tomorrow will be the future of this country, literally, for decades into the future, literally. That's not a flippant statement. That's a very accurate statement. That's how important this is, Doug.
I know you loathe predictions, but it's been a week since we spoke. I'm going to ask you this flat out. Based on everything you're seeing right now, do you think that it's going to be A, decided tomorrow night, and B, do you think that President Trump will be reelected? And I understand this is your assessment, prediction, whatever, but what are your thoughts?
Well, given a free and fair election, the president will win by a landslide. The Democrats will do, and already have done, everything they can to disrupt it, mm-hmm. to cause confusion, to cause chaos. Please recall Hillary advising Mr. Biden to not concede, which typically happens after the polls close in Hawaii or the West Coast, one or the other. That's becoming less likely to happen this election than previous ones, in my opinion. The Electoral College, of course, is the key to this, not the popular vote. I think you mentioned earlier your belief that the president will get 330 Electoral College votes, which is more than enough to elect him president.
326, so yes.
Yeah. That's what we need to be focused on, is Electoral College. They're going to be, apparently, according to the people in that conference call, that Zoom conference.
Yes.
The chaos begins the night of or the day after the election, and goes until Inauguration Day. That's assuming that President Trump is reelected, obviously. But even if Biden is elected, there's going to be chaos. The chaos seems to be a given no matter who gets elected, Doug, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. I believe what's that saying? A revolution for the sake of a revolution for revolution's sake. I think that's what we're seeing here right now. And I'm not talking about a revolution, a good revolution. I'm talking about a communist coup, like you have spoken about. There was an individual, just if you don't mind me, also showing you this. This would be clip two. This is a relatively short clip, but, you talk about free and fair elections. And I don't know who this person is. Maybe others do. Apparently pretty, very, very, very popular. Yes. But I'd like you to take a look at this, John. And the issue is this. The scariest thing you can be is a silenced American. And folks, think about that sentence. The scariest thing you can be is a silenced American. Her name is Samantha, I believe. Go ahead and play this, and John, then we'll talk about it after. It's okay. Just a minute or a minute and a half, whatever. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. On October 30th, Instagram took down my main account. I had 166,000 followers. I put hours into posts and into videos, and it's all been wiped clean. Instagram gave me no reason for why they took down my account, and the last post that I posted was me in my Halloween costume with my mouth stitched up and with a caption that read, "The scariest thing you can be is a silenced American." Because I didn't know why Instagram took down my account, I moved to my backup account, which had about 50,000 followers. I decided to post the same Halloween picture with the same caption to see if this was really the reason they took down my account. Within an hour after posting the picture with the caption that read, "The scariest thing you can be is a silenced American," Instagram took down my backup account. Within the past 3 days, I've had countless people tell me that their Twitters, their Instagrams, their Facebooks have all been deleted, gone. Some of these are even business accounts. And these people are all conservative voices. It's this close to the election. What are the odds? And we can say, this is Mark and this is Drex platforms and they can do whatever they want. Sure. But the fact that these guys sit in front of Congress and say that they're for freedom of expression and freedom of speech is a joke. And the fact that people believe them is even scarier. You see, the truth is they think we're just going to give up. We're going to get tired of the fight and we're going to say, you know what? Who cares? They can have it. Well, we can't. Because our freedom of speech is up for grabs. This is not about political affiliation. No matter if you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, left or right, everybody should stand up for what is right, and that is our freedom of speech. And so I ask anybody that works for Facebook, for Instagram, for Twitter, to please stand up for what is right. Because the censorship that's going on right now, it's not okay. Thomas Jefferson once said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery," and that is something that we should all live by. Because if we don't, we're going to willfully walk ourselves into 1984, where war equals peace, slavery equals freedom, and ignorance equals strength.
There it is. This is happening to more and more people, John. And it's electioneering. I think it's election tampering to do this. And yet Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, sit in front of Congress lying their asses off, saying that, no, we're not doing that. Oh, yeah, you are. What do you make of this? I mean, the electioneering, the election tampering by the social media outlets. I mean, look, I know they're not, I know you can't, but you can't be, you can't hide behind Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act saying you're just a pass through kind of platform and, or a pass through and, you know, have editorial control like that. So what do you make of this?
Well, Doug, the big tech guys are showing, I think the correct word is hubris.
They're, yes. Yes.
They have no shame. They have apparently the feeling that they can do anything they want and get away with it and then lie about it afterwards. So they're pretty full of themselves. Of course, we need to remind ourselves that these are men and women who don't drive their own car. They don't live the life that normal Americans live. They have they're catered to. They if they go someplace, the bullet-resistant limousine takes them to the private aircraft, and a bullet-resistant limousine picks them up to take them to the next destination when they arrive. They don't prepare their own meals. They don't go shopping. I remember Al Gore trying to buy something. He was trying to look normal and went to the supermarket when he ran for president. He didn't know how to buy a pack of chewing gum, whatever silly thing it was, at the supermarket, because he'd not set foot in the supermarket for decades. It's a different world these people occupy. And it affects, it really does affect their brains, I believe, that they truly believe in their hearts that they know better than us, that they are better than us.
Right.
And they should be our masters. I heard one of my correspondents, he was at David Rockefeller's estate when Dave was still alive, and David gave him a tour of his place and said something to the effect, "It's a shame I'm king of this country and nobody knows it." Words to that effect.
wow. Okay.
Yeah. But that's, it is a different world. You know, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton have not driven automobiles for decades. It's a world that for us, it exists only in movies, but for them, it's just everyday life where they're catered to. They're surrounded by people who will not disagree with them, which is very important. If you're an employee of one of these big tech people, you get to that portion of being an employee, especially a trusted advisor, by not disagreeing with the people who write your paycheck. So they're surrounded by people who do not disagree with them verbally or in emails or any other. Privately, they might to their spouse, but the bosses are never going to know that. So I can see how they can get to the point where they think that they're better than us, they're smarter than us, they know what's best for us because that's just what's best.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a shame, but that's where these folks are. They're the modern equivalent of a Chinese emperor, you know, or any emperor as far as that goes, who surround themselves only with people who will agree with them, only people who will smile whenever they're in the presence of this emperor. And It changes your brain, I believe.
I don't mean to overtalk you, but it blows my mind that, if I got a flat tire, I have to I change my own flat tire. Okay. I don't have a driver that does that. I mow my own lawn. I take my own garbage out. Unless my wife does it, which sometimes she does. But to live like that, John, right? I mean, to not know how to do, if you need to go to the store, go to the store, buy a loaf of bread, you know, reach in your pocket, spend your hard earned money to buy a loaf of bread. I don't know, brother. It's just these people don't, you're right. They just don't know how to do that. And can you?
In the days, you know, this is generational. In the days before private jets, there were private train cars.
Yes.
Where the wealthy would travel in a private train car and not have to be among the unwashed masses in the public train cars. So there's nothing new about this. This is going on for generations. You know, we're so amazed, for example, at we have these devices that send messages at the speed of light with our cell phones. Well, the elites have had that since the Civil War era with the telegraph. Speed of light communication from one rich person to another at the speed of light in the 1860s. There's nothing new about this at that level, because they've always had the state of the art, whatever the state of the art might be for that particular decade or century. It's hard to fathom that lifestyle, having everything done for you. And having people to do whatever needs to be done without you ever having to lift a finger. Modern day equivalent, as I said a moment ago, of the way the emperors lived in centuries and millennium ago. Not much different, Doug.
No. You're right. But you know what, John, I think that robs guys of testosterone. Not doing things like mowing your own lawn, changing your own oil or your own tire when it's flat, or just taking care of whatever business you got to take care of. I think it robs one's testosterone. That's my view, but you're right. It does something too to change the chemistry of the brain or the firing of the synapses of the brain. You know, would I like to have somebody to do that? Sure, I would, but not all the time. I think it'd be kind of, I don't know.
Well, look at the lifestyle of Vladimir Putin as an example of the other direction. He's obviously could have anything and everything done for him he wants, but there's lots of photographs of Vladimir Putin doing really macho he-man kind of things that he doesn't have to do, but he does because it's just the guy he is. I can't imagine many American politicians doing the macho he-man stuff. Well, look at Hussein Obama, for example. He looked so awkward trying to do any he-man thing that, you know, he attempted to be photographed doing manly things. And he looked like an awkward teenager because that's not who he is. Vladimir Putin, on the other side, he is a genuine he-man, a man's man, and nothing to be taken lightly. And that goes, you know, when two men meet, they size each other up very quickly. That's just what men do. They size each other physically, size each other up physically as to who this guy is. Is he a man? And even though it's not said or verbalized, does he present a physical threat to me? That's what men do.
That's right.
Now, and women may not understand it.
Beta males. Beta males, they sniff the other one's butts.
Well, I'm talking about alpha males here.
Okay, all right.
And one alpha male recognizes another alpha male instantly, within seconds. One alpha male will recognize another alpha male.
That's right.
And an alpha male will recognize a beta male just as instantly. And everything else flows downward from that. Now, when Vladimir Putin meets somebody like Hussein Obama, now I never met Hussein Obama, but a couple of guys are my neighbors. They were at the Chrysler plant in St. Louis with the first election. You know, of course, the auto workers were promising all these great things from Hussein Obama. But they shook this guy's hand. And they tell me, John, it was like shaking the hand of a 12-year-old girl when I shook the hand of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, that's very telling, I think.
I do, too. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a 12-year-old girl, but a healthy adult male, especially an alpha male, is not going to have the handshake of a 12-year-old girl. But Hussein Obama does.
You can tell a lot by a man's handshake. I'm telling
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
I want to get your take on this. This kind of is out of left field. So tell me what you think of this. Now, I don't know whether you saw this or not, but there's something about this that concerns me. Kamala Harris, we have a special picture of Kamala Harris, by the way. There's some.
Okay. The hyena.
Yeah. And the hyena, and then there's the animal on the left. Okay. I saw this, not that, but I saw this, this video clip. Where is it here? Laura Loomer, like her, don't like her, it doesn't matter. Laura Loomer took some video, and I think she was down in Florida where Harris was. I think Harris was down in Florida where Laura was. And she took about, I don't know, 45 seconds of video maybe, of Kamala Harris coming down there and meeting a group of voters, potential voters. Now, when I saw this clip, I didn't think anything of it. It just went right over my head. And then she said, watch, look at her. Number one, the premise is this is not Kamala Harris. That's number one. And number two, well, I guess that's it. It's just not Kamala Harris. But why wouldn't it be is my question. I have a lot of questions about this, but if you don't mind, tell me what you think of this and let's analyze this. And I understand politicians and folks, believe it or not, for legitimate reasons, politicians use body doubles, just like actors do, but that's for different reasons. But for legitimate reasons, sometimes politicians use body doubles. And I don't know how many people know this, but at least once every 2 years or once a year, they plan funerals for the president in Washington, D.C. And they have a stand-in for the president. It's a whole big thing. But it's normal. It's explainable. There's no nefarious thing going on there. Okay. But take a look at this clip, John, and tell me what you think of this.
All right.
Go ahead.
That's not Kamala Harris. That must be. Doesn't even look like her. That's not Kamala Harris.
You guys were her sororities
and sisters. You're That's not Kamala Harris. It looks nothing like her. Very deceptive to the voters to send body doubles out. Very deceptive. It's a fake Kamala Harris.
Anything strike you about that?
Well, that overweight female next to Kamala and a very overweight man behind her, are those supposed to be Secret Service people?
There you go. You get a cookie. Yes.
They don't look like any Secret Service. I never saw a Secret Service male agent who was 80 to 100 pounds overweight, and the female was at least 50 pounds overweight minimum.
Believe me, I'm sure for as much as the Secret Service would like to probably put their finest, you know, in quotation marks. Yeah, I've never seen that either. And the way they just walked away, there's
so much
wrong with
that. Well, she wasn't being protected, first of all.
Right, exactly.
They were present, but they weren't protecting her. I've done executive protection. In fact, I'll be doing one beginning tomorrow. Details and the executive being protected is not let loose like that without somebody being an arm's length away in that kind of setting. A setting that's not staged, it's not controlled. You simply don't do that with a protected person, especially at that level. You simply don't do that.
Exactly. Now, there are other videos out there that kind of dig down deeper and analyze that, but I saw some differences with respect to her her body. I mean, she's got relatively the same body shape, but there's some other things that, you know, you look at. When I look at a woman, I look at her neck. I don't know about you. The neck tells me pretty much age. I look at her ears. And so on. Nothing seemed to match on this, but what would be the, in this case, at a voting event like this, what would be the reason for that? If you had to speculate.
Well, they're desperate and they want more exposure for the candidate. Getting back to the Secret Service thing, the Secret Service is not going to send out people for a body double, except for the president, maybe.
Right.
But not for a candidate. They're not going to do that. They won't be party to that. So they're desperate. The polls, for the most part, are fake, just like they were 4 years ago, giving 4 years ago Hillary the victory the day before the election. Obviously false. Same thing's happening today. So the Democrats are desperate to do stunts like this, to send a body double out to have an impact on 20 or 30 voters. That took some time and some organization to do that, and very likely they're doing it in other places as well. In this last minute attempt to gain whatever votes they can get there, Doug.
Speaking of desperate, if we can go to number, this would be on the first one I sent to you, Eric the Tech. This would be, oh my goodness. This would be the third one up from the bottom, CamVTV on Twitter. That'd be the third one up from the bottom, if you don't mind. Take a look at this. Hang on a second here. And then after that, you can go right to the second one. It's a 5 second clip, right above that as well. So, hang on just a second, John. We're getting this ready. Talking about desperation of the left. And this goes to, what's that? Okay. Yeah. This goes to, what the reason perhaps they're desperate. Go ahead.
And that's why Special Operations Commander General Stanley McChrystal.
And let's move right to the second one. Oh, can't go that quick. Well, let's talk about that one. You're seeing the same thing we're seeing, the decline, mental decline in Joe
right.
Biden. Okay.
Right.
All right. Here's one more. Now, John, I am not the best speaker in the world, believe me. And I'm reminded about that quite frequently. But what do you make of this? I mean, you know, what do you make
Didn't
of this?
He... In the last few days, refer to being an election against George Bush.
Oh yeah, that was some. I think it was a week ago, but yeah, running against George, right. running for Senate, running against George,
and his wife had to prompt him three times as to who he was really running against.
Yeah, you can almost see her trying to throw her voice. Trump. I love it, Trump.
But at least he's not calling his wife Michael.
You know, look, I get it, and you get it too. You and I talk a lot because that's what we do. And sometimes words come out that shouldn't come out. In my case, more than the average bear. But, you know, the guy's running for president, man. Come on, man. Anyway, so yeah, I just had those. And unless you have any objection, by the way, I'm going to show you something real funny. And then from that, it'll segue into a kind of an assessment. I'd like your assessment on this.
Sounds good. Let's
okay.
Do it.
The funny one, which would be, it'd be Twitter 017. It'd be the fourth one or third one down on from the top. Check this one out. I laughed at this one. I laughed at this one. Because this is how I feel. You ready? Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, check this out.
Look at this, y'all.
Look what's on the front of the truck.
Portland Antifa.
I want one of them. I thought that was rather funny. John, we're seeing more and more Antifa blocking vehicles from going. Yes, last night they slashed the tires on a truck. They used a support vehicle to stop traffic and harangue the occupants of vehicles and such. How do you see this playing out, brother? How do you see that playing out?
Well, it's just practice for what really begins in earnest tomorrow evening. I was talking to a mechanic who works at my car. I've got my older town car is a 2002 with a lot of miles on it. The newer one is a 2011, very nice. But the older one has some upgrades that would still be interesting if Antifa tried to stop me. All the inside glass is the same coating the Department of Defense uses on their glass to stop the glass from becoming secondary projectiles. Michelin tires, strobe lights, a spotlight with the aircraft landing light upgrade, and of course, a big Ford V8. And I told my mechanic I'd rather be smashing over Antifa with my older town car than the newer one, because I want to keep the newer one nice. If Antifa did stop me on the road, I would immediately dial 911 and keep the dispatcher on the telephone, because this becomes evidence. I would probably roll down all the windows, depending on what vehicle I was in, to keep the glass from becoming secondary projectiles. And once there's a clear and present danger of deadly force being used against me, then I would lawfully be able to use deadly force against them, whatever it took, whether it was running them over or using my 1911 to defend my life, all the while being carefully recorded by the 911 dispatcher, which would be used as evidence later. So I have thought about this, because this happened in places I traveled to in Metro St. Louis. They march out into a major highway, an interstate highway, and they just shut it down. And then they start attacking the vehicles and the people inside them. This cowboy is not going to be a victim. I will do whatever it takes to protect my innocent life against criminals. And I've always felt that way, Doug. And that's what I will do if I'm find myself in that situation.
All right. If you don't mind, can we take a real life example here? This was recorded. This was posted yesterday, but recorded, I think, hours before. Can you kind of give us or the audience kind of your, what you would do in this case, what you, John Moore, would do, or what the people should do in this case? Now, this is a couple of minutes. This is what we're talking about. This is in, I think it was in Portland. But this is a vehicle trying to get through the Antifa crowd. Okay. And you can watch it, and there's different activities that occur here. And you can say that the bad thing to do, good thing to do. But I would, I don't know if maybe police departments or maybe us, maybe the general public, like you know, should really take a look at this. And, based on your expertise, you, John Moore, because you got it. Just give us some hints as to what this person did wrong, should have done differently, aside from not being there. Okay. If you don't mind. Okay. So do you mind giving us your,
Let's roll it. Sure.
Okay. And by the way, if you want this to stop, you know, if you want to say whatever it might be, you just say stop the video or whatever, stop.
Or hold it. Yeah. I'll say hold it if we need to.
Okay. All right.
Pause.
All right. And then, we'll go from there. All right. Go ahead.
Oh,
car with the flashers on, I believe, is a support vehicle for it.
So, usually when they do the marches, they have support vehicles. And that's what this guy was doing here. It's a support vehicle. Blocking traffic from this guy.
The white truck or the white Jeep or whatever it is there.
Yeah, they're right over there. They're right over there.
That's the
honk your horn, they might come to you. Or they just don't give a fuck about you and they won't do anything.
Sorry about the language, folks.
So the people just said that he's fucked out.
Obviously, he's trying to get away.
This car behind him here is holding him off. It's not letting him back up. So now they've pinned him. There's nowhere for him to go.
Washington ESX 4376 is the license plate.
Yeah, the guy did look talked out, so it's definitely a volatile situation right now. He very well might go through this crowd. Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't slashed his tires yet. Usually one of the first things they do. But they're all calling the cops right now, so that's interesting in itself.
That car's just trying to run.
So there's a cops right here. And just standing there. Now the dude's parked up there.
I suspect the reason he's off on the side of the road is because of the tire that was slashed.
Where you fucking going, goddamn pussy?
Okay, I don't think there's any more value to this. Any that pretty much where it does go on for another couple of minutes, and then they turn their attention on another vehicle. But there's the essence of the situation. I think that we can expect to see this, not in Portland, but maybe in Kansas City, maybe who knows where, Pittsburgh, you know, wherever, any big city. So go ahead with your analysis.
Well, a full-size automobile with a V8 has a lot of power. If you're willing to sustain some body damage, you can push a lot of vehicles out of your way, if you choose to. I've done this myself. Most people are trying to avoid damage to their motor vehicle, but a situation like that, the motor vehicle is second, and innocent life is first. Now, apparently there was two hostile vehicles, one in front and one behind this guy. Was that accurate, Doug?
The best I could tell, yes. The short answer is yes. Definitely the first one. I'm unclear about the one behind it. However, whoever was narrating that said that there was the vehicle.
It gave the impression the one behind was attached to the Antifa, was what I got out of it.
That's what I got out of it, too.
And he was only 2 feet off the back bumper, which didn't allow much maneuver room, to say the least. Well, it ended, now the attendant victim, he stopped another, what, a couple hundred yards down the road, you think because he had slashed tires?
Yeah, I think that's my best guess. I was trying to pull up other information beyond this, and I saw some references that appeared to be about this incident, but yes, to answer your question.
Well, you can run on flat tires without harming the wheels for maybe a few hundred yards, and after that you start damaging the wheels, and after that you start a fire. So,
right.
So in a worst case scenario, you just drive until the fire starts. If whatever it takes to get away from people who want to hurt you, you do what you got to do. You always get into the car. You only got one life. You say this was Portland. The police were on stand down, basically letting the protesters rule the street. Obviously, that was what was going on, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Apparently, people have to understand the police are under no obligation to protect you. Maybe that sounds a little bit odd. I mean, obviously, if they see somebody pointing a gun and getting ready to commit a homicide, yes. But until there's an obvious credible threat, they're not under any obligation to protect you. Am I right on that?
Well, that's right, Doug, but there's more at issue here. When the roadways are blocked like that, you're also blocking first responders responding to a child that's hurt or somebody having a heart attack responding to a fire. That's all also being blocked, and the police have a responsibility to keep those routes open so first responders can do what first responders do. And to allow them to block the roads, which also blocks first responders, is unforgivable. It's absolutely unforgivable. And of course, they are acting under orders. The police are a paramilitary organization and they follow orders. Or they resign. That's the two choices. Either follow orders or you resign. So they were under orders to allow the protesters to block the public roadways, which also blocks the paramedics and the fire department from doing their jobs.
Okay. Right. But the police obviously didn't really give a damn about that.
Well, we don't know what we know. That's their personal feelings. All we know is what they were ordered to do. What they thought about it personally, we don't know.
Well, true. Yeah. My bad. I didn't state that properly. Whoever gave the orders for the stand-down.
Well, it's from top down. The mayor is in charge of the chief, and the chief does what the mayor tells him to.
Right. Okay. All right. What would you, so if you would have found yourself in that position, and I, you know what, when I found this and was going through it, I'm thinking John would never find himself in this position, because you have situational awareness far in excess of allowing that to happen. Would you have attempted to sought safety with the police if you knew that they were there, or would you have rammed, you know, put it in reverse and rammed the back one and then get away somehow?
Well, in terms of getting away, it's a lot safer to ram the back car than the front car.
Correct.
Because there's no radiator in back.
Right.
Especially with a Lincoln Town car. So ramming backwards would be a lot safer. You could actually, that was a much smaller vehicle. It could be easily pushed out of the way with a larger car with a V8. That would have been preferable. As far as seeking the safety of the police, we don't know what the person inside that vehicle could see or not see. What we could see is not necessarily what the intended victim could see. I would hope that the police would render safety and shelter to an intended victim. Typically they would, but we simply don't know that, do we?
No. I've often said my vehicle does not go in reverse. Okay. And I chuckle at that. You know, I make funny about that. I don't have a reverse. But then again, I'm not so sure. It's not funny. And I mean that. I, you know, if I fear for my safety or for the safety. If I had my grandson or granddaughter in the back, and we were going out for whatever, okay, I'm taking this pretty damn seriously. And I guess I'm what I'm looking for, and I think you're providing it, I'm looking for advice to give to our listeners and viewers. You know, obviously we want
to. Well, the first advice is don't get in that situation.
That's right.
These events are highly publicized. Now, it is possible that they could form up, the Antifa could form up and be out in the road blocking it before the radio or TV news has any awareness of it. That is a possibility, not to be overlooked. And so if you find yourself, and of course you could be driving along and listening to music instead of the radio and not know that Antifa has blocked your favorite highway that you use to get to your destination, and you find yourself all of a sudden confronted with several hundred people blocking your way. As long as they're nonviolent, I would probably let them block the road. But if they started committing violence against anybody, myself or any other motor vehicles that were around me, that's when I would take direct action to either escape or use direct action to stop the criminals from committing violence.
And I would hate to be on the receiving end of your direct action. Folks, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. You can listen to him every day, as I do. Stellar guests every weekday, stellar guests on this show. Go to thelibertyman.com. And, of course, right there you'll see the player, and then you can drill down there into the archives. But all of his shows are very informative, and I just love it. So, yeah, but you're right. Okay. Now, one last thing, and then, you know, however you want to handle this from here on, you know, I just is fine. But I wanted to ask you about this. You saw the Biden bus, right? Biden bus,
yes.
getting surrounded?
Yes.
All right. I don't know how many people, folks, I don't know how many of you by now, and hopefully most of you, saw the Biden bus being escorted out of Texas or through Texas. And, of course, big brouhaha. The FBI is investigating this Trump supporters, you know, harassing the Texas Biden bus. The first part of that, this morning on Morning Joe, the FBI is investigating this. The first half of that, the last one. Can you cue that up, Eric the Tech? And by the way, I hope you had a great weekend, Eric the Tech. I didn't talk to you. Compare that to this. And to think, in John, your commentary too about what is said with respect to the Biden bus, and then in the wake of what we just saw. So whenever you're ready, are you ready with that? Morning Joe. The first, it was, it'd be the part one of that second, the very last one I sent. It'd be the first part of that, the first link of that. It's the Twitter feed. Morning Joe. All right. Stand by. All right. Morning Joe talking about the incident that you know about. Here it is.
It seems to me that that would be unlawful on a million different levels.
Yeah, Mika. This is how democracies die. In a fully functioning democracy, you wouldn't have the political leader celebrating his armed supporters bullying his political opponents. So that's why I'm glad the FBI is investigating. And I hope that state officials investigate as well, because there could be some federal and state crimes here, depending on what the evidence shows. I mean, there could be violations of voter intimidation. It could be possibly aggravated assault if someone was waving a gun at the bus. There could be attempted false imprisonment. But even if there are no crimes that have been committed, it's still a bad look, especially among suburban women who will decide this election. Plus, this has backfired. This incident has been so widely reported, much more so than the original event where the bus was headed. And so I think this whole thing has really turned off a lot of people. Also, I want to find out who in the Trump campaign is encouraging all these people to block traffic. Because nothing could be a worse closing argument than traffic jams, whether in New York or New Jersey. And although New York and New Jersey are blue states where Trump's not going to win, they have vulnerable down-ticket Republicans who will suffer as a result of this. And I think one final thing, this puts an end to the whole theory that there's this wide segment of shy Trump voters out there. I've never met a shy Trump voter. In fact, they're some of the loudest, proudest people who are just out there so wanting everyone to know who they support. If anything, there may be shy Biden voters out there because they don't want to be run off the road.
All right. They didn't show the bus being escorted or the impact. There was a side impact of a white SUV into a black truck that was behind the Biden bus. And the SUV got the better or the worse of the deal. But they're talking about, you know, filing. The FBI is investigating potential filing charges, voter intimidation. But what I thought was funny was, or humorous, ironic, I guess, imprisoning people.
False imprisonment.
False imprisonment. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, when you compare the two, there's no comparison. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. So that's kind of what, you know, I was looking at that. I'm thinking, my goodness. You got Morning Joe and Yoko Ono, or Mika. Sorry, I had a flashback there. talking about
okay, well, let's go back. This is the state of Texas. Yeah. Well, first question, where was the Texas Highway Patrol escorting the bus? I didn't see Texas Highway Patrol escorting the bus. Now, in my state, they have Highway Patrol escorting prisoner buses routinely whenever they travel from one prison to another. And I would think that a presidential candidate would raise to the level of having at least two Texas Highway Patrolmen, one in front, one in back, escorting a presidential candidate through the state of Texas. That would just seem like a reasonable thing to do.
There's no indication that either Harris or Biden were in that bus. It was staffers and maybe a local government official. So,
well, regardless, traffic was shown being stopped. We don't know why the traffic was stopped. It was a consequence of just too many vehicles or something else. There was mention of Trump supporters being armed. Well, Texans are armed. That's no surprise. They show up at a lot of events armed. That's no surprise either. That doesn't necessarily mean there was a threat to the presidential candidate. People in those little blocks, what was there, eight different people? It was a predictable thing the mass media would do, lining up people with some minimal credentials, such as the prosecuting attorney of a county. That's an elected position. It's not a big deal. There's about 3,000-plus prosecuting attorneys in the United States, and this guy was just one of 3,000, giving him some status in his position. In a state that's 1,000 miles from Texas. Why didn't they get a Texas prosecutor to comment on a alleged crimes being committed in the state of Texas? They couldn't find one? I don't know.
Good point. Yeah. I don't know.
If I was a journalist, especially at that level, at the national level, I would strive to find a prosecutor from the jurisdiction or close to that jurisdiction to make comment on things that took place in Texas that possibly violated Texas law, as opposed to a prosecuting attorney from 1,000 miles away commenting on violation of Texas law despite his apparent lack of knowledge about the Texas state statutes, which would be pretty important, don't you think, Doug?
Yeah, to what you just said, I just got an update here, I have just seen this update. It states this. And this from the Texas Highway Patrol. The police department has said it researched the crash, watched the video, and it stated clearly the at-fault vehicle would be the Biden-Harris staffer's car, which was the white vehicle. where the victim appears to be one of the Trump vehicles. Now, I'm inserting the words there, the truck. As a matter of fact, the at-fault vehicle appears to be the white SUV, which I don't know.
Right.
It would be that crossing into the, you know, behind and striking the side of the Trump supporter truck. But the fact is, the traffic annotation on that, the traffic stoppage had nothing to do with the incident that you saw. So that was kind of a bait and switch, a little piece of video from Morning Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with it. So there you go. You know, here we are. I'm looking for some rocky times, brother. I mean, I've got more, but you know what? Let's just talk. So wherever you want to take this, but you know, it's
well,
just,
Doug, yeah. I know quite a few veterans, both combat veterans and non-combat veterans. Every veteran I know is preparing for warfare. The combat veterans, especially more last 3 months, combat veterans are beginning ready, and other veterans, more recently. And of course I am myself. I'm going through my inventory, making sure everything's in readiness. This is a bona fide communist insurrection. You can believe whatever you like, but it has, all the direct connections to Marxist, to Marxist money, to Marxist philosophy, to Marxist tactics. This is a bona fide communist insurrection. They mean to destroy our country, Doug. And, no matter who wins the election, and I think it will be President Trump, the violence probably begins tomorrow evening or the following day. That's my opinion based on everything I know, Doug. And people would be well advised to make sure that they have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C to deal with whatever's coming. Everything's on the table, attacking the power grid, attacking telecommunications, the fresh water supplies, blocking roads, which would be more than just a temporary thing, which would disrupt commerce and disrupt food deliveries. If, and I believe he will, if President Trump is elected, they're done for probably two generations in terms of any peaceful takeover of the country. Well, the peaceful takeover is pretty much over. It's going to come down to violence. That's what communists know. That's what they do. And that's what they've been planning and strategizing for, training and equipping for well more than a year, to commit violence to destroy our country, Doug. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Yeah, I am as well. I've had people write to me and say, well, if there's going to be violence, why do you care who's in office? Well, at least we have a chance, I believe, with President Trump. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the emails I get, or the comments I see on our YouTube channel. But the bottom line is, the left is not even trying to hide anything anymore. They're coming right out and, man, there's, I mean, Kamala Harris is talking about full-on communism through a cartoon. I don't know if you saw that, but it was on Breitbart, I think, earlier today. But my goodness, I mean, it seems like we're looking. I do think President Trump can salvage, or not salvage, but prevent or mitigate a lot of the damage. If he's reelected, I think that he could probably stop some of the violence through appropriate uses of assets and resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the arrests that have been made the past 9 months of Antifa people includes capturing their smartphones. Mm-hmm. And that's where the evidence is. That's the treasure trove of who's connected to who nationwide. All those cell phones, smartphones. The law enforcement has all that information. They know who's connected to who. They know where they are. And once this begins in earnest, I think they can proceed a lot more quickly with arresting the people at the top of the chain of command and mid-level management. If they can take up mid-level management and the top of the chain of command, that will pretty much end everything, Doug.
Yeah, I think, yes. And we have to do that. You know, we saw this back in the 70s with the Weather Underground. We've seen this happen before. And
not like this, Doug. The Weather Underground was never more than two dozen men and women ever.
Okay.
And maybe
Sophie Carmichael and
people that gave them aid and comfort. But you know, that did exist. And it did happen. And, it was never more than a very small group of people, maybe 20, 25 people at the most. The level of organization, the funding of this surpasses that by a factor of 1,000, easily 1,000 more than the Weather Underground. We're talking thousands of men and women recruited, trained, equipped, and paid for by Alexander Soros and related people. Your analogy is valid in the fact that that did happen in the early to mid 70s, but the comparison in terms of size and capability is not even close. When it comes to size and capability of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, we're looking at thousands of men and women well equipped, well trained, and prepared to use violence against property and people. That's what they are.
That's okay. All right. I'm in agreement with you there. Any thoughts on the Joe Biden or Hunter Biden laptop, hard drive, the three devices,
the evidence we're aware of, and Tucker Carlson has been doing an excellent job reporting on that. He's got the hard evidence, by the way, in hand. It was lost. UPS lost it, but they got it back.
Oh, yeah, Fox News, documents, yeah.
Fox News is the only mass media outlet reporting the truth. All the other CNN and the affiliates, ABC, CBS, and so forth, are all reporting it as Russian disinformation that the Russians made up the emails. That's not the evidence. The evidence is this is the real deal. That Hunter Biden's two laptops, plural, are the real deal, real emails involving Hunter Biden, Joe Biden and related people in criminal activity. And that's about half the people in this country think that's Russian disinformation. It's a big deal. And this will continue far long after the election, by the way. When the election is over, the Department of Justice and the FBI will continue investigating the evidence that's come out of this laptop, which ultimately should result in indictments.
I would hope. I I'm not so jaded right now to believe that at this level, Hunter Biden and his associates, and even Joe Biden at this point, although I perhaps on medical grounds he could be dismissed, but I think things could happen with this. It's big. I mean, the access, the blatant, what I call the blatant treason on this. I'm telling you, man.
Well, there is. And I have no doubt whatsoever that President Trump has called the director of the FBI on the carpet and asked him, what in the hell is going on? You sat on this for more than a year, Mr. FBI director?
Yeah.
Without doing anything? You think he's been called on the carpet in the Oval Office? Of course he has.
Or will be, you know.
Or will be.
Yeah.
Well, I would. I'd have him in a New York minute dressing him down and asking for his resignation if he had any direct knowledge or involvement in that.
Exactly.
The FBI is big enough that the director of the FBI may not have had a clue what was going on. But the ones that did should be turning into resignations and giving up their pensions and possibly, look at some other disciplinary things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me to believe, and I don't know if you've seen the, in addition to the emails, the text messages and other coordination between devices, there's also photographs and videos. I don't know whether you saw them, but man, are they,
They're salacious and yeah. Disturbing, but, they don't necessarily involve the President of the United States, but really, Rudy Giuliani made an interesting observation, Joe Biden knows his son's addiction problems and related problems. And he sends this young man, relatively young man, off to deal with foreign leaders who are obviously and clearly our enemies because they are nuclear powers, China and Russia. Why in the world would a father send his son, who has marginal abilities because of his addictions, to deal with foreign leaders at that level? Now, we're not talking about opening a shoe store in Moscow. We're talking about really big deals involving tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars and foreign powers. That's just not right. Why would a father do that to a son? That's the words of Rudy Giuliani, not mine. And I agree with Mr. Giuliani. Why would a father do that to a son? It's just not right, Doug.
No, and I agree with Rudy Giuliani, and I agree with you. It's a family issue when you have someone who's addicted to whatever he was using, crack, meth, whatever. But to put trust in that individual, or to put that individual into a situation that that involves the security of your country is unthinkable. And alternatively, too, with the pressure that Hunter Biden would be under, it would just exacerbate the drug abuse. So, I mean, it's just a, wow, it's just a mess. But, yeah. So, I'm going to keep my eyes on this, but I think after President Trump gets reelected, which I think he will, I think we're going to see some cabinet positions kind of be,
Fauci's gone.
Yeah, Fauci's gone.
He should have been gone 9 months ago. Yeah. But Fauci's gone, and I have a pretty good idea why the president kept him in there, because of political reasons and the fear in this country. A friend of mine, he's a registered nurse, Doug. He just took on an assignment to be in for 5 weeks to take in charge of some COVID testing facilities in southeast Missouri. And he says, John, these people are fearful. They're being mandated by employers to take a weekly COVID test, even though they have no symptoms. People are afraid. And Fauci has such a reputation that my belief as a president held off firing Fauci until there'd be no political consequences for himself, which will be the day after tomorrow. So,
yeah.
seriously, that guy needs to be gone.
He does.
He's up to his eyeballs in doing the wrong thing. When it comes to anything related to the health of this country. Absolutely. And he needs to be gone. The president will replace him by, I would love to see Dr. Buttar in there, by the way, with a doctor who has great credentials and will, what I'd like to see is duplicate what Sweden's done.
Yes.
No lockdowns, almost no masks, and a lower death rate than this country. Now that makes sense. Doing the right thing for the right reasons and duplicating what works. This makes sense, and what Sweden has done is what works, Doug.
There you go. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. We've got about 3 minutes left. Any closing thoughts? The next time we're going to talk on air, things are going to be a lot different.
Well, so, assuming the internet works and we have electricity, yes, sir. prayer is powerful. Prayer works. The scientific method has been used to measure the value of prayer. We need to be praying for President Trump, his family, praying for President Trump to win the election tomorrow, praying for the safety and security of our country. These prayers need to go on without cessation, Doug. That's really what needs to happen. Prayer for President Trump to protect him, his family, and our country.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think there's been a time in modern history where prayer is more important. I mean, 9/11 was an event, but this is something that we need to hit our knees tonight here, right after the show. If you go to bed and hit our knees and pray for the future of our country, pray for President Trump.
As devastating as 9/11 was, the outcome did not necessarily affect the future of this country, as bad and as horrible as it was. It turned out it did for other reasons. The Patriot Act was already drafted and ready to go. They had the wars planned and ready to go. But what happens tomorrow will affect this country for decades into the future, literally.
That's true.
That's not a flippant statement. Literally affect this country for decades in the future in either a very negative or a very positive fashion.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote, John? while we're speaking or here in the
Just my radio show Monday through Friday, Central Time at 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time at Republic Broadcasting. My website is thelibertyman.com. Do not use a search engine. Put it directly into your browser. If you put thelibertyman.com in your search engine, you'll end up places you don't want to be. Yes, it's a lot of fun. We have some interesting guests, and it's a live call-in show, and we invite people to call in. There's about five or six different ways to listen in the modern age, smartphones, internet, satellite, and so forth. And it's a lot of fun, and I'd much rather be doing this than investigating murders, Doug, quite frankly.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Sometimes
murder case in a movie is over before the hour's over.
Yeah.
For you and me, it's a year of our life. I've never worked a homicide that took less than a year of my life, ever.
When it's all said and done, or by the time it's all said and done, that's about right, yes. And what it takes away from you, too, it's hard to explain.
It takes over your life, especially when you're in trial. The world stops when you're in trial.
That's true.
Nothing exists except that when you're in a trial.
Yeah.
You're in the courtroom, otherwise you're eating and sleeping. That's it. That's your life.
That's very true. And you know, you've had the experience of sitting there, waiting for the jury to return. Man, you talk about worse than Vegas.
It's got wrenching.
Yeah.
Especially if you know your man's innocent, which I have in the past. And, it's a tough way to make a living, but as I was told by my mentor, Charles Shaw, it's our chosen profession, John. You can't complain about it.
That's right. That's right. Well, John, I wish you the best. I wish you a safe evening and week.
Thanks,
and
sir.
Day. And folks, I would urge everyone to visit thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. And take a look at what John has, too. He's got some items that he does market, sell. Please support John through that and support him through his radio show by listening and by and spread the word too about John's show. My goodness, it's such a valuable commodity in today's glut of information. So there it is on your screen there. The website is thelibertyman.com. John, thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next Monday.
All right, my brother. Thank you.
All right,
folks. Wow, that was a great program. I'll tell you what, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. He's a smart dude. He really is. Just in closing, hang on just one second here. Cackles. That hyena picture with the hyena and the cackles. I'd like to close with this, if you can. I know that we're not going to get through all of it. Just want you to see maybe the first minute or so of this. This would be number 1, 2, 3. This is the third. Let's see. If I believe it or not, no link. I didn't send you the link on that. All right, 50 seconds. We can't do it anyway. Folks, tell me what you thought about Kamala Harris, that body double thing. Tell me what your thoughts are on that. I'm telling you, it didn't look like her. And John was right, too, about the Secret Service agents. Anyway. Folks, hit your knees tonight. Pray for the future of our country. Pray for our president. And by all means, tomorrow, go out and vote. Vote for President Trump. And if you're a Christian and you don't, please do me a favor. Turn off this show. And I mean that. But in the meantime, may God bless each and every one of you. Keep you safe today and the coming days. Good night.